Zions Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zions Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 3rd, 2013. Well, I guess the horn was a little... in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Right there, prophecyhour.com is basically a hub that you can find all the different things about our ministry, whether it's the homeless ministry or the mission church or the woman's shelter. All those things that you can find out are at prophecyhour.com. And now with it, we knew before that there were people that listened to us just on satellite, but we're looking at statistics now that tell us that at least 15% of the people do not use the Internet. So you folks out there that don't use the Internet, feel free to call me for anything that you need, okay? All right. Anyway, moving right along. Next week, I make sure that you tune in to Mission Watch, because I'm pretty sure that we're going to have Jerome Croce on talking about his new book is on Who Really Killed JFK. I know it's been done over and over and over, but I just got the book today, and it's supposed to be a really good book. And Jerome Croce will be on with us in an interview over that book. So pray about it. That'd be Mission Watch next week. And if you missed Mission Watch today, I had Stan Johnson on with me talking about where the Antichrist will come from and some other things. We also talked America, Babylon, and so on and so forth. We talked about some really good things. And if you missed that, right now it's already in the radio archives, or should be at the radio station. Later tonight, it will be in the archives on that you can find through, again, our hub, prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Tonight we're going to have on a fellow, and his book, well, it's not a book. I'm looking at a DVD cover, I guess it is, and it's called The Sure Word of Prophecy, and his name is Steve Henderson. And so we're praying everything works out. Anyway, so now we'll have a prayer, and we'll bring on Steve. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not mine. And please give us all out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest for over 20 years has been studying with the depth of the prophecies concerning the return of Yeshua or Jesus. There are many different viewpoints in the Christian theologies in fear of being labeled a sensationologist or outed, forget it, he'll tell you the word anyway, or paranoid, I choose to be reserved in sharing much about my understanding of prophecy. In the last couple of years, some very amazing changes have transpired in the Middle East. I'd say so, with the Arab Spring. I hold to the opinion that we were looking at the final shaping of the Earth's final movements toward eternity. You know, folks, I believe those words, I believe that honestly, because you know, folks, that when they started the Arab Spring, we started blowing the trumpet at the first of our program. Anyway, he says he can no longer sit quiet about this. His ministry is called the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. Its mission is to help believers understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and to make an presentation to unbelievers that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning. Well, enough of my fumbling around with words tonight. I don't know why I'm tongue-tied. We'll just bring on now Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, brother.
Boy, I sure hope so, because I'm having a problem with words tonight. I'm all tongue-tied. Of course, an hour ago, I just did an hour with Stan Johnson on the radio talking about some things. And so, anyway, I'm really fascinated. I don't even remember exactly how I came across your site or how we connected, but I'm glad I did. So tell the folks, what did I miss about talking about you?
Well, not much. I'm not here to talk a whole bunch about me outside of that. By the way, Pastor Dan, I appreciate you for your invitation to share with you the Sure Word of Prophecy and to proclaim the soon coming of Yeshua. I thank you so much for the invitation. We hooked up on the Bible Prophecy Connection there on LinkedIn, and that's how we got together. And I thank you so much. I believe this is a divine appointment. It was back in 1989 when I began to study Bible prophecy with great diligence. In fact, it was a prophetic word that brought me out of a life of unbelief into a saving faith to Yeshua. And I have been on an exciting journey, and I just can't hardly contain myself anymore because I see the very events that Yeshua spoke of, especially concerning the prophetic word. I believe that Yeshua, he spoke about the prophet Daniel. He singled this prophet out, and back in 1989, I began to study the prophecies of Daniel with much diligence. I believe, as the scroll unrolls and time gets closer for the return of Yeshua, this book, Daniel, united with the Apocalypse, or the book of Revelation, will bring floods of light to the final generation. And if the events recorded in Daniel become clear, the signs which Jesus highlighted will become more obvious, and it will help prepare the bride for his coming. At this time, Revelation and Daniel, with very little narrative, will be all the proof that one will need, in fact, that the Bible is Yahweh's word. And at this time, there be no doubt there's one that knows the end from the beginning, as I was saying. Brother, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you. So much for me. I would like to take you to the Word of God, and I'd like to start with a pivotal statement that Yeshua made about the end. I believe that Daniel is tied into the end, and we're going to speak about that and hopefully get to Daniel 8 before it's all over with. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and start with verse 14. Yeshua said, "This gospel will be preached as a witness unto all the nations, then the end will come." And as Yeshua made this prophetic declaration concerning the signs which will precede his return, he mentions the end connected to the gospel going over the whole earth. Think about it for a moment. Yeshua said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not. Can you imagine a Jewish carpenter who lived only in his early 30s making such a profound statement such as this? His word not only left Israel, but now is in every part of the globe. Hereby we may know that we ought to be bringing our attention back to the prophetic word. And in this particular statement, John collaborates that in the book of Revelation, and I'd like to take a look at it with another angle found in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. As I say, Daniel and Revelation fit hand and glove. And so let's go over there to Revelation 14:6 and take a look at what John sees as Yeshua declared. In Revelation 14:6, John declares, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, into every nation and tribe and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice. Now, this is the same event, and it's just illustrated. It's an angel's loud proclamation of the good news going out to every person on the face of the earth. And it's in this context we find the good news, which will come with a little bit more harsh news in the same verse. He proclaims, along with the gospel, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And then there's a call to worship him who made heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. Now, according to this, not only is the gospel going out to the end of the earth, but it's the judgment hour message that will compel the message to go out to the ends of the earth. Now, Yeshua made another statement that ties in the gospel to the book of Daniel, and let's go there. In verse 15 of Matthew 24, Yeshua proclaims, and this gospel will be preached as a witness unto all the nations, then the end will come. Therefore, that therefore connects the statement of the gospel going into the all of the earth. And then, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now let's tie it in just for a moment. The gospel is going up to the ends of the earth, and we know that's taking place through satellite, TV, internet, missionaries, churches, everywhere the gospel is being proclaimed. And then, at some point in time, there's going to be a judgment hour connected to it, and then he ties in a statement about the abomination of desolation spoken of by a particular prophet in the prophet Daniel. So let's tie it all together for a moment. It will be tribulation and judgment, which will compel men to go out and proclaim the good news. And at that time, the abomination of desolation will be set up. This is connected to a definite period of time in the book of Revelation and Daniel. And then he ties it in, verse 21 of chapter 24 of Matthew. He says, for then will be great tribulation such as never was since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever will be. So Yeshua ties in the gospel going out, the judgment hour being proclaimed, and something being set up in the holy place. And it says, whoever reads, let him understand. And when I began to study these prophecies back in 1989, it compelled me to go back to the book of Daniel and take a good look. Because he ties this abomination of desolation into a great tribulation such as never been since there was a time before, and no, nor ever will be. Now, Daniel collaborates this in his writing in the last part of the book, found in chapter 11, verse 45. Let's take a look at what Daniel says about the same event that Yeshua proclaimed. In Daniel 11, in verse 45, he says that he will plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. At the end of this present age, something will happen in the Holy Land, the place where God or Yahweh placed his name. And when this happens, Jesus said a great tribulation would then commence. And here it is in Daniel 12 and verse 1. Let's take a look. At that time, what time? At the time that he plants his tents between his palace and the glorious holy mountain, a time of trouble such as never was will commence. Ever since there was a nation, even to that same time. So we see Daniel speaking about this very clearly. But unfortunately for most expositors, a lot of people have put this great time of trouble back and tied it into the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But apparently there's going to be a time of trouble tied with this that's going to be greater than the destruction of Jerusalem. We recognize in history the Roman armies came and through Titus and destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70, where over 1 million perished in that besiegement. But there's a time of trouble coming that's greater than that. Greater than World War I with 15 million deaths. Greater than World War II with an estimated 40 million. And even if it pertained to the Jewish people, 6 million Jews were exterminated in that World War II. And how could the world stand back and allow such an enormous evil to fall upon the Jewish people? But according to Yeshua, there is going to come a time that will unequal anything that's ever been witnessed on the face of this earth, and never again, and in that time been shortened, no flesh will be saved. A time greater. And so he ties the abomination, which will usher in a desolation in a time of trouble unlike anything we've ever witnessed in history. But there's good news here. There's excellent news, and at that time, according to Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, your people will be delivered, everyone found written in the book. Hallelujah. There's good news on the backside of all this, and there's going to be deliverance to those who are written in the book. And there is a book in which every person will either have their name written in or in a name that will they'll be absent from. And the good news is that there is an offer available to everyone who has expressed faith in our Lord Yeshua. And there's only one book, and at this time, when it all appears that all hope is lost, there are going to be those, according to this book, in verse 3 of chapter 12, those that are wise and shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Now, the prophet proclaims that there's going to be wise, God-fearing believers at this time who will be known by their wisdom, and in earth's darkest hour will shine with a light from God's prophetic word, giving hope to the multitude of the last hours of earth's history. And according to this, those wise will turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. These wise teachers will deliver a message that will turn many scoffers and godless into believers. And not only will God give them a whole lot of evidence that's going on all over the place, but the people who know their God will instruct many on what to do. So we're not going to be left in the dark here. But after he receives the enormity of these visions, then Daniel is told to seal up this book. Now, in according to the verse 4, Daniel proclaims, close up the words and seal the book until what time? The time of the end. Now, I believe that the emphasis here is on the sealed up words and the closed book. I've heard a lot of expositors talk about the knowledge of technology, and we've walked on the moon, and we have satellite and Hubble telescope and all. But contextually and hermeneutically, we need to seriously consider that he was told to fill up the words of the book and close the book up. Now, it's not talking here, in my opinion, about knowledge from horse and buggy to the space shuttle, but at the end, the ones who look in the book will run back and forth, and knowledge will increase of the sealed words of the book of Daniel. According to the verse 9 of chapter 12 of Daniel, Daniel is told again, go your way. The words are sealed until the time of the end. So what we're looking at is people are going to be looking in the words of Daniel at the end, and knowledge of the sealed up words when the end comes are going to increase, and the book of Daniel is going to illuminate and bring many people into great light and a great illumination to prepare them for the coming return of the Messiah.
I'm really enthralled at what you're saying, but that's the first time I've ever heard Daniel interpreted that way. Most people do talk about how great knowledge is increased without saying what you're saying. You're saying it's the knowledge of Daniel that's increased. That's what you're
saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And that fits. I'm following with you, brother. I got the book of Daniel open. And folks, I hope you all listen to this and get the book of Daniel out and recheck it with him. But go on, my brother. Don't let me interrupt you. You're doing great. I'm interested.
Okay, my friend. If it's locked up, if it's sealed up, you're not going to be able to get in it until the time of appointed times. Now, according to Daniel, it's at the appointed time the end will be. Yahweh has an appointed time. And at the time, I believe that if it's locked up, you're not going to be able to get into it. But at the end, when the words are unlocked and unsealed, if something's not locked up until a certain time, you're going to stand on the outside looking in, but you'll have to wait until the time that the key arrives. And so what this reveals to me is until that time comes, the things that we thought may have been the whole truth of the matter, we will find more light concerning these prophecies will come at the end. The very players, events, and specifics identified in Daniel will become clear to those who are paying attention and searching the scriptures diligently. And with the Spirit of Yahweh, you will be wise and shine at this time. It's a book that you eat, and it becomes sweet But then, in your belly, it's going to become bitter. And then it's going to prophesy to the nations. According to the prophet Daniel, there will be those, in Daniel 11, verse 36, who understand among the people and will instruct many. I'm sorry, this is Daniel 11 and verse 33. And in chapter 12 and verse 10, Daniel also says, none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise will understand. So at the end, what it tells me is, you know, we have a certain idea of what truth is. And, you know, we all have our ideas of what things mean about, and very little have I heard about the prophetic declarations of Daniel 7 through Daniel 12. When you hear about Daniel, you usually hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, you hear about the historical narratives, but when it comes to the visions of Daniel, very few have articulated in any detail. Since I've been studying anyway, I've heard very few speak about it. But my opinion is, at the end, there will be people that will be running back and forth in that book, and knowledge is going to increase, and Yahweh declares in Isaiah that he will never do anything without a warning. According to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42, and this is found in verse 9, it says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I declare, before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. So before something happens, you can count on Yahweh telling you about it. And that's why Jesus said time and time again, watch. And then he gave signs to look for. And I believe that those who are diligent in these words will have a readiness and know when to speak. According to the prophet Amos, great light will come, and he will never do anything unless he reveals that to his people. According to Amos chapter 3 and verse 1.
Let me break into you right now. We've got a little less. We've got about 50 seconds before we go to break. And let's give the folks your website address. So some of them are listening live on the Internet. Some are listening on satellite. But at any rate, that they can get your web address. And if they want you, they can go over and look over your site. So what's your web address?
Well, web address is www.surewordprophecy, SureWordProphecy.org. And I am at the beginning stages of that, so it's not real fancy, but it's there for you to look at. I'm just at the beginning stages of getting it upgraded, but it has four of my presentations. There are samples of the presentation. For the presentations that I make that are turning a lot of heads. So feel free to...
Plenty good enough. Let me break in. Plenty good enough because it got me to contact you. Folks, go over and have a look, and we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes with more on the Sure Word of Bible Prophecy.
Dan will be right back.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887. Or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95 plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that are barely keeping roofs over their head that come to the mission church to look for things. Folks, you know, we've been painting and getting a woman's shelter ready to go, and then we just really got set back. We just found out just before Tabernacles that all tools and materials on the property were taken. I guess it was a break-in, although there shows no sign of entry, but there was all our tools, materials, you know, paint, all the things that we needed to get this place ready. The weather's changed, and it's getting cold outside. We need to get this woman's shelter open. As you know, there's just really no place for women in Wichita when they go homeless. Agencies keep sending women to us as well as the police who need to be getting inside. And I think it's really cruel that all the money that businesses and churches in Wichita, they funnel, here's the evil part, they funnel money to agencies that say, well, we're caring for everybody. Whenever the news media asks them, they say, we're caring for everybody. But clearly they aren't, because otherwise why would they be sending these women and other people and women with children to us? It is these agencies that are the roadblock in our efforts to get the woman's shelter open because of this fable the news media pushes forth for them. The people of Wichita just believe it, hook, line, and sinker. Right now we need your prayers to break through this and get the funding we need, and the funding we also need to keep the mission church open. Now in our 14th year, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people with clothing, food, Bible, shoes, first aid, blankets. This list, you know, goes on and on and on. The most important things that we give them is the gospel and miracle prayers. With over 800 churches in Wichita, really, we are still needed there. We need your help to keep doing what we have been doing and to get the woman's shelter open. I believe the woman's shelter will be a witness for the truth, and then the churches will see the lies that they've been told, and then some things will change, but we need to get it open. We also need donations of King James Version, large print Bibles. We really do need these. So why do many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer. Treated as family is the second. And beyond that, we really have no set guidelines like programs. You know, like people say, well, let's see if you fit in our program. We don't have a program. Walk in the door, that's the program. And then if we have the way to fill the need, we fill it. If not, we pray it in. This is why the agencies that say they're helping everybody tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. We're all folks responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or if you're listening on radio and you don't do the Internet, simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now let's get back to our program on the Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We are back with Steve Henderson, if he hasn't left me. Are you there with me, Steve?
Pastor Dan, I'm here, and I just want to commend you for your work in the Wichita area. I believe that when Yeshua comes back, he's not going to ask, what kind of right doctrine did you have, or what kind of right church were you in? But he's going to come back, and he's going to judge the nations based upon certain criteria. And he's going to come, and he's going to say to one hand, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the eternal kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. And as much as you've done it to them, you've done it to me. And I see a lot of people with a lot of pride about their church and the big building they put a lot of money into and ignoring the homeless and the people who need shelter around them. Well, he's coming back, and he's going to ask, what'd you do with what I gave you? And, brother, I commend you for your work there in Wichita. Yahweh bless you. Now, I'd like to take you to Habakkuk, the minor prophet, who was told to write the vision, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. And I believe that this applies to the book of Daniel. Write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he who runs will read it. And for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. I believe that at the end, the visions of Daniel would become so clear that if you'll just take it and put it out in front of the people with very little narrative, you're going to find that that people are going to gain great light just by the very events. The geographical locations and all of this will be very important, studying the details of the visions. Now, I'd like to take you to Daniel chapter 8. In my studies of the abomination of desolation for years and years, I discovered that the first absolute reference to the abomination of desolation is found in Daniel the 8th chapter, and it's referred to as the transgression of desolation. So when I noted that in Daniel 8 in 1989, I was started to study these prophecies with much interest. And the first reference that I found was found in Daniel 8, and so I discovered that this event culminates or starts with a war which takes place between certain countries. And through this war, the whole world begins a downhill spiral. So let's go there and take a look. Let's go to Daniel 8, and let's look at the vision. Chronologically, this is the catalyst or the thing that will start and kick off all of the time prophecies found in Daniel. In my studies, I found this to be true. Let's look at the vision. Daniel 8 and verse 1. In the third year of the king Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. Now, Daniel had received a vision 2 years before that, and that's found in Daniel chapter 7. Both of these visions fit hand in glove with the book of Revelation and the things concerning the man of sin. And as you'll see in the vision, this is the beginning of the matter, and then as a turmoil of war enlarges, the beast in Daniel's first vision comes into sharp focus. And this culminates into a great deception and final attempt for Satan to deceive the whole world into an allegiance with him. So let's get started with the vision. In Daniel chapter 8, in verse 1, he says, I saw in a vision, and it so happened while I was looking. I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. Now, then he declares, I was in vision, and I myself was beside the river Ulai. Now, friends, I don't have to guess where this river is. If you do just a little bit of homework, you're going to find out exactly where this river is. There is no room for guessing. So he was in Shushan in the province of Elam. Then he was taken and placed in vision at the river Ulai. With a little bit of study, you'll find out exactly where the Ulai is. In a biblical encyclopedia, we discover the exact place where it was located. And let me read it to you. Ulai is a river in Iran, ancient Susiana, that rises in the Zagros Mountains and passes west of Shusha, eventually falling in ancient times into the Tigris just below its confluence with the Euphrates, listen, very near to the Iran-Iraq border. So in this vision, Daniel is placed at this particular river. It's called the River Ulai, and in my studies, I found it is now called the Karun, K-A-R-U-N River, the ancient Ruta Karun, or ancient Ulai, a river in southwestern Iran, a tributary of the Shat al-Arab waterway, which is a very important waterway that goes out into the Persian Gulf. So there's no mistaking of the location of the river where this conflict starts. It's right there along that river. Now, in verse 3 of chapter 8, he gives some additional information. He says, I saw a ram which had two horns standing in front of the river. So Daniel at this particular time sees this ram standing at that river right there between Iraq and Iran. And then he gives additional information. The focus switches to two horns. A ram had two horns, and the two horns were high, and the one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. Indicative that the focus is on one nation, and then a larger nation gets involved, a more stronger nation comes in after the first. And then he says in Daniel 8 and verse 4, I saw the ram budding westward, northward, and southward, and no other beast could stand before him, nor was there anyone to rescue from his power, but he did as he pleased and magnified himself. Apparently, the ram that's standing right along that river begins to bully. It begins to get aggressive, and it's pushing three different directions. Even the directions are important. He's pushing west, north, and south. Please pay attention to the details. So we find this ram begins to bully and get aggressive, and then the prophet sees another entity coming into the scenario. He says, then, suddenly, a he-goat came from the west over the face of the whole earth. When the ram begins to bully, the prophet then sees another entity centering and entering into the arena of conflict. Please note the specific location from where the goat is coming from. He's coming from across the face of the whole earth from the west. Again, a specific geographical location. And then there's another detail in the specifics. And he did not touch the ground. Keep in mind, back 2,500 years ago, there was no such thing as a jet plane or an airplane, but the prophet clearly sees this goat come across the surface of the whole earth from the west and attack from the air. No boots on the ground here. He's coming from the west. So then, the prophet also then says something about additional about this horn, about this goat. And in Daniel 8 and verse 5, it said that the goat had a, listen, notable horn between his eyes. Not only is the location from where this ram identified, but Daniel puts a lot of emphasis on this large or notable horn on the goat's forehead. Then the prophet specifies a reason for the goat's involvement. Let's take a look in verse 6. According to this, then he came to the ram, the goat, came to the ram that had two horns, which he had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. Apparently, whatever this ram is doing right in between Iraq and Iran there has made this goat infuriated. It's something this ram does when he begins to get aggressive. So the goat comes across from the west with a great fury towards what this ram is doing, and then the prophet gives additional information in this setting. Let's look at it in Daniel 8:7. And I saw him, the goat, confronting the ram, and he was moved with, now the King James calls it choler, but the actual Hebrew word means rage. And so the goat came and confronted the ram, and he was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke both of his horns. Notice again the word rage and infuriated. What did the ram do that brought so much anger from this goat with a large horn who comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west? And why would this goat stick its nose in someone else's business anyway, from so far away? Anyway, the goat is much more powerful than the ram, and it breaks down the ram. In verse 7 of Daniel 8, Daniel declares, and there was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him to the ground and trampled him. And there was no one that could deliver the ram from the goat's hand. So apparently this goat that came from the west with this great horn was much stronger than the ram. And when this war is over, something significant happens. Please pay attention. Daniel 8 and verse 8. Then after the goat wins the war, the male goat magnifies himself exceedingly. But as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken. So after this goat wins the war and gains more respect, and while they're bragging on their greatness and victory, the prophet sees the great horn break. And it's interesting that Daniel continues to speak about this large horn. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in the place of it, four notable ones. So when the great horn breaks, according to Daniel, this great horn goes toward the breaks into four, toward the four winds of heaven, and when the great horn breaks, the whole world is affected by this war. When the great horn breaks, the whole world is affected because it goes toward the four winds of heaven. So when it affects the whole world, in Gabriel's interpretation, we see some additional details. So let's do a review before I get into the interpretation that Gabriel gives in this vision. Now, I might also add that there's a lot more to this vision than what I'm speaking about here, but with time constraint, I want to do a brief review, and it goes right into Gabriel's interpretation. Let's do a review for a moment. The ram is located at a specific river. That river is located at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, right there in between Iran and Iraq. The goat comes across from a certain direction. It comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west. Something the ram does infuriates the goat, and it starts a war. The ram has two horns. One starts, and a larger nation joins in. The goat is coming from the air. It doesn't touch the ground. The ram is attacked by the goat, and the goat is furious concerning something that the ram is doing, which is pushing and bullying, three different directions. The goat has a great horn between his eyes, and there's something very important about this great horn. The ram is not strong enough to win the battle. It loses, and the goat from the west, with the great horn leading the way, is the winner. Now, let's go right into, for time's sake, to the interpretation. Now, as Daniel was contemplating his vision, in verse 15, let's pick up the narrative. Now it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. So as Daniel is contemplating this particular vision, someone appears before him that has the appearance of a man, and the next verse identifies who it is. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Eli, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the meaning of this vision. So, the first thing that Gabriel told Daniel is this. Let's look at verse 17 and look at this very carefully. So when he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face, but he said to me. So Gabriel was afraid, and I'm sorry, Gabriel wasn't, but Daniel was afraid and fell on his face, and then Gabriel told him this. Understand, son of man, that this vision refers to the time of the end. So I don't have to guess about where the geographical locations are from these entities, and I don't have to guess about what time this vision is applied to. Now, I know there are some dispensationalists who say, oh, brother, well, that was a time that referred to back in that day and in during that dispensation. Well, I believe that when Jesus spoke about the end and Peter spoke about the end and Paul spoke about the end and Daniel spoke about the end, there is going to be an end to the matter. And Gabriel said very clearly that this was an end time vision. In fact, he wanted to get this word across so much that he repeats himself in verse 19, and let's take a look at it. Gabriel repeats the timing one more time. He said, behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. So, according to the angel Gabriel, this vision between the goat and the ram would apply to the end of time at the appointed time at the final period of the indignation. And when you study this idea about the indignation, you know that this will occur at an appointed time when all hell, excuse my expression, is going to break loose. Now, I would like to, I'm running out of time here, but I would like to go back to Daniel's day for a moment, because it's very imperative that we understand the setting in which Daniel was setting at that time when he wrote the book. According to the testimony of the book that he's writing, at one point in time, Belshazzar, he was sitting in Babylon, and which would now be the modern-day Iraq. But he was sitting there underneath the leadership of Belshazzar, of course, and he declared that something happened when Belshazzar was having a drunken party with the temple vessels, and it was just really, I guess it was called the party of the National Feast of the Babylonians. It was referred to the Feast of Belshazzar, I believe, in the book. But when he was having that party, there was a handwriting on the wall, and we all recognize that that story, where it was said, many, many tekel, Petas of Hazan, which means God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. You have been weighed and the balance has been found wanting, and your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. But Daniel was writing the book during this time, and this happened, this particular situation happened in 539 B.C. In 539 B.C., the historical narrative was that the Neo-Babylonian Empire fell to Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia, with an unprecedented military engagement known as the Battle of Opus. According to the prophet Isaiah, he singled out this great figure of history, Cyrus, 100 years before this happened, and said exactly how the Babylonian kingdom would fall, and just exactly how he said it would happen. They diverted the waters of the Euphrates and went underneath the walls and took out Belshazzar in 539 B.C., and according to the historical narrative found in Daniel chapter 5, verse 30 and 31, the night that that happened, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. So we need to know that, because when Daniel is given the interpretation of this vision, Gabriel says in verse in verse 20 or 21, the ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of the Medes and Persians. So, according to Gabriel's interpretation, the Medes and Persians will not apply to the 539 BC scenario, but he would put the Medes and Persians at the end of time. And it'd be very, important for us to understand this. Because Daniel was told in verse, let me get this picked up here, in verse 26, he was told, Daniel, seal up this vision, for it refers to many days in the future. So remember, the book of Daniel was to be sealed up until the time of the end, and Daniel was told to seal this particular vision up because it would refer to many days in the future. It would not appear in his day, but it would appear many days in the future. So apparently, it did not apply to the day that he's living. And that's a very, very important thing to note. So,
Brother, you've got like about 1 minute, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye. So go ahead, and you've got about 60 seconds.
Oh, just get
it. Always goes like, look, it always goes like this. It really does, but I don't want to use it in time. But when we're having fun, it always goes like this. And if you don't have it all, we'll do another program, but go ahead.
Okay. Just on Tuesday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned the United Nations delegates Tuesday that to avoid a military conflict with Iran, they would have to open up their nuclear program to inspection. There's a lot of things here in this prophecy that I'd like to share with you. The goat that comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west is identified as the king of Grisha, but the Hebrew word there is Yavan, which was known as people from the west. Right now, they would be identified as people in Eastern Europe, but according to the geographical location, they would come across the surface of the whole earth from the west with a great horn leading the way. Now, at some point in time, I would like to share with you the thoughts on this great horn, because it's very important.
Let me break in. Why don't we do that? We'll set up another program, and then you can, instead of crunching everything in just a couple of seconds and ruin it for the people, you folks out there can just hold your suspense because you did it before. So we'll invite him back on. So you want to come back on, Steve, and finish this sometime?
Brother, I would be looking forward to that very much.
Okay, folks, we'll work it out, and you'll be able to find a link. Folks, if you're listening to this in the archives, you'll find a link to Steve's site on it. And so that is the Sure Word of Prophecy, and it's .org, not .com. It's easy to find. Well, Steve, really, thanks for being on with me, and I'll work it out with you off the air. About what I'll look at my calendar and see what date we have, and because I was ready for the interpretation, and so you got us all the way here. Now we got to finish it. So
you haven't heard nothing yet.
Okay, well I want to hear the rest of it. I knew this was going to be a 2-part one. All right. I got a feeling for these kind of things. Anyway, be blessed, brother, and we'll talk again real soon. And, folks, make sure you tune in. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.